Monster Man, episode 476, Asuras, and Black Cloud of Vengeance. Hello, and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm taking a look at the monsters that I find in them, their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we are continuing our journey through the Al-Qadim Monstrous Compendium Appendix. Now, you might think to yourself, but James, it is Friday, and on Fridays, we do listener request episodes. Yes, but since we're starting a new book, I just wanted to get a couple of entries down. So we're going to do a regular episode today, we're going to do a regular episode on Tuesday, and then we're going to return to having regular episodes on Tuesday and listener requests on Friday, as long as there are enough listener requests to do it. Speaking of listener requests, it's time to thank a new patron. Yes, this is someone who's gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they have pledged as little as $1 a month to help support the show. But if, like today's backer, you pledge at the $5 level, you'll get to choose the topic for a patron request episode. In addition to that, you'll also get access to all new episodes of my other podcast, Patron Deities, of which there are currently nearly 150. So thank you very much, Keith Parker. Your support means a lot to me. Okay, so our two monsters for this episode, first we have the Asuras, and then we have the Black Cloud of Vengeance. Let's start by talking about the Asuras. Asuras are messengers of the gods, and they are rivals to the Devas. They do all the stuff you would expect. You know, they carry messages to the faithful. They bring inspiration to prophets and oracles. We've established that angel means messenger. And these guys are definitely diplomats rather than fighters. But they are pretty capable at defending themselves, especially if there's more than one of them. And they do form the legions of heaven. They're equipped with a variety of crowd control spells. They're pretty good at non-violent resolution of conflicts, and they can use their fiery wings to create burning winds when they're flying in a group. Now, we have encountered the term Asura before, so we've seen them not only in the Vedic tradition, so in that series of patron deities episodes we did on Indian mythology, but I want to say we've also seen them in our episode on Rakshasas. I think there are some Asuras in Ravana's palace in the Ramayana, although I don't know off the top of my head. Now, in that Vedic tradition, Asuras are more like demons than angels. Maybe that's not quite right. They're not as uniformly evil as demons. It's more like they don't have to be good. They can sometimes be good. There are sympathetic characters. There are people you're supposed to root for who are considered to be Asuras, though that might be a different meaning of the term, right? It can just mean lord. Asuras might be more comparable to something like Titans. Now, this idea of Asuras as angels appears to be connected to an idea relating to the Ahuras in Zoroastrian thought. Now, you're probably familiar with the term Ahura Mazda, which is the name of the benevolent supreme deity in Zoroastrianism. But there are a category of good supernatural beings who are called Ahuras generally. And there was a theory, I don't know if it's substantiated, that the terms Ahura in Zoroastrianism and Asura in Vedic tradition are connected. And then, of course, the idea of Asuras was taken up and adopted by Buddhism. One group of Ahuras that maybe are a bit like the Asura described here are the emanations of Ahura Mazda, these seven beings that essentially were like the first thoughts or actions or creations of Ahura Mazda and through whom the world was created. So I think from the combination of the Vedic concept of the Asuras as numerous supernatural beings, and from the Zoroastrian concept that they are agents of good, right? So unlike the sort of probably on balance bad guy Asuras of the Vedic world, the Zoroastrian ones are very much on the good guy side. I think we get these Asuras. They mingled also with an attempt to transpose a pretty typical D&D angel, which is to say kind of the angel of popular medieval and post-medieval art, into the Al-Qadim setting. I do like that the authors are casting their nets pretty wide. So we've so far seen one monster based on ancient Egyptian mythology and one from Zoroastrian Persia. Well, I mean, you know, influenced by or inspired by. I think I said based on, right? These are not direct translations of those monsters or those beings, but that's where they're drawing their images from. So despite the title, the game is not confining itself to Arabia. Our next creature is the Black Cloud of Vengeance, a sentient thundercloud full of soot and ash. They were supposedly created by unspecified evil beings before the revelations of the Lore Giver. So the Lore Giver is the prophet who brought divine teachings to the Land of Fate and is clearly kind of the settings equivalent of the Prophet Muhammad. And so there's this idea that prior to the coming of the Lore Giver, society as a whole was much more sort of wicked. On the other hand, if they were created by evil beings, the Black Clouds of Vengeance seem to have given up their evil ways, since they never attack cities that are pious. So if there's a city that has mosques, they don't attack that. And also they don't attack cities that are protected by genies, which does a lot, I imagine, to encourage both piety and genies. I don't have any proof, but I think that the Black Clouds of Vengeance are inspired. They might be inspired by the Quran. So the Quran contains an image of clouds as an instrument of divine vengeance. I do not read Arabic, so I am quoting from the Sahih International English translation. And this excerpt comes from Surah 46, that is Surat al-Ahqaf. I probably didn't do a good job pronouncing that, but the chapter of the wind-curved sandhills. The Quran is divided into these chapters, or surahs, each of which has a specific name. So you will sometimes hear this called Surat al-Ahqaf, and sometimes you'll hear it called Surah 46. Same thing, just two different ways of describing it. And this is verses 21 through 25. And I'm including the, like, translator's notes to help make this more comprehensible. And mention, O Muhammad, the brother of Ad, when he warned his people in the region of Al-Ahqaf, and warners had already passed on before him and after him, saying, do not worship except Allah. Indeed, I fear for you the punishment of a terrible day. They said, have you come to delude us away from our gods? Then bring us what you promise us, if you should be of the truthful. He said, knowledge of its time is only with Allah, and I convey to you that with which I was sent, but I see you to be a people behaving ignorantly. And when they saw it as a cloud approaching their valleys, they said, this is a cloud bringing us rain. Rather, it is that for which you were impatient, a wind, within it a painful punishment, destroying everything by command of its Lord. And they became so that nothing was seen of them except their dwellings. Thus do we recompense the criminal people. So, like the Black Cloud of Vengeance, the cloud here wouldn't have struck these people if they had been pious, but they rejected God and clung to their, you know, their gods, right? They say, have you come to lure us away from our gods? They're destroyed by a cloud. That sounds pretty similar to the Black Clouds of Vengeance to me. So while I don't have any evidence that that's where this came from, I think, you know, that's pretty fair. So while this dark cloud that punishes the impious is probably a pretty good read for the Black Cloud of Vengeance, there are other instances of clouds as manifestations of divine power. So I feel, for instance, like the pillar of cloud / pillar of fire that appears in the book of Exodus. Like, that's another example. And one, of course, that has a place in Western pop culture because of its appearance in the 1950s film The Ten Commandments. And I do wonder if that Ten Commandments isn't an influence here. I feel like the kind of Hollywood Middle East that the author refers to in the introduction to Arabian Adventures includes a number of these kind of biblical epics as well. So it would surprise me if we saw a few more things that are not rooted so much in, you know, medieval Arabia, as they are in other places, time periods, or faiths that are covered by the same genre of movie. Now, we've had our first monster from the Quran, if that's what it is. In our next episode, we're going to be taking a look at a creature from a separate body of Islamic tradition, and we're also going to be looking at a very normal animal. So I hope that you'll join me next time as we look at a supernatural mount and a very non-supernatural mount, both of them right here on Monster Man. a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you've got a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, why not get in touch? I'm on Twitter as @GonzoHistory, on Mastodon as GonzoHistory@dice.camp, or you can find me on Instagram at MonsterManGonzo, or drop me an email, GonzoHistory@gmail.com. Our theme music is an extract from Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster and is used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Our cover art is by Ray Otis. Thanks for listening, and please join me next time for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great.